Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. Yes, indeed, I am that crazy hawk we know as Goldie. Tonight is December 22nd. Happy solstice. Happy winter solstice to God, all my amazing friends from all over the world, to Norway, Simon in Norway, and oh my goodness, where else? And Janine in Jersey, and Robin, and you're in, where are you?
Michigan.
Michigan. I was going to say Wisconsin, but I was like, no, she's not in Wisconsin. Robin in Michigan, and you know, we are really, I don't know about anybody else, and we'll definitely talk more about this on the show tonight. I don't know about anybody else, but the energies have been, see, and here's, I don't want to say they've been kicking my butt. That is not the experience I'm having. They are massaging my butt into this, into this wild space of be still, go to sleep, and the work will get done. I mean, that is just, for the moment, where I'm at. And, you know, I didn't even realize today was the winter solstice until I saw it on Facebook earlier this morning. And it's like, oh, because one of the things I've been noticing is that I'm sleeping the same numbers of hours an infant sleeps. And, you know, not every day, but, you know, like there are days I'm just sleeping like 10, 11 hours. I did it yesterday. I did it the day prior to yesterday. A couple of times last week I did it. And I know that, you know, many people associate sleeping a lot with depression. And, you know, the people that are in my inner circle and, you know, following the show, I'm not depressed. I'm kind of just following my own energy where it's leading me and going with it. Because it's interesting. I have a lot of clarity, but I'll admit, today, I kept wanting to come on Facebook. Like, there was a part of me, it was like, get on Facebook, talk with all your friends, and I don't know. I didn't want to communicate either. I had a paradox going on. And I'm a bit in a paradox as we speak right now, because I don't know what's going on. I just know my energy seemed to be drawing me in. So I think what I'm getting for tonight is I have a marvelously amazing guest on tonight. We haven't spoken in quite some time. She's, if you think I'm a cheerleader, oh my goodness, you should meet Robin Marvel. Robin Marvel is one of the most authentic cheerleaders I've ever met. I mean, she is the archetype of cheerleader and lives it. She doesn't just cheer about it. She lives it, and I really respect that. And I think we're going to let Robin's going to do a lot of talking tonight. I don't know if she knew that, but she knows that now. The only thing I want to do is I just want to give shout-outs, and we're going to definitely bring you on the show, obviously, Robin. I just want to give a shout-out to – see, I apologize for being a little schizo tonight. It's just the way the energy is responding with me. I want to give a shout-out to Susan, who's recovering from quadruple bypass surgery. I love you, Susan. I'm sending you love and presence and awareness that you may experience this recovery with all the blessings and all the gifts that come, you know, from such a significant experience. But you're in my heart on a daily basis, and here at Another Reality Show, we are all wishing you well. You know, all of us. Me, the cat. It's my big production company. No, I mean me and the whole audience, of course. And wait a minute, who else did I want to... I wrote these things down. Oh, I'm not quite sure who else I'm giving a shout out to. Anyways, shout out to everybody. I love you all. Okay. So tonight we have on the wonderful Robin Marvel, who you can find at robinmarvel.com. She has written 3 books. She knows consciousness. She's raising her children extremely consciously. She wants to help raise all children. She wants to help parents raise their children consciously. And she's written, three books. And the fourth one is out, I believe. Or is it 2 books and the third one's out? Well, let's bring you on so you can help me get out of this small state of chaos that I've built for myself. Welcome to the show, Robin. So good to have you here.
Hi, Goldie. So good to talk to you. I missed you. I haven't talked to you in forever. I see you on Facebook, but I haven't talked to you, so it's been
a while. It's been a while. And I was delighted to have you on for the Christmas show because I was like, oh, Robin is such the perfect energy. You know,
yes.
And you know, how are you experiencing, consciousness right now? I'm definitely, because we haven't talked, I am, you know, like, what's your experiences?
Well, I've been going back and forth. You know, my big issue is I'm not like a waiter, I'm a doer. So
okay.
I get myself wrapped up in these things that I want to accomplish. You know, I have like a billion projects and I'm like, okay, and this has to work out this way. And I catch myself because, you know, I'm human and I do it just like everyone else does. I'm like, this has to be this way and it has to happen in this timing. And if it isn't happening in this timing, then I'm doing something wrong and I need to recalculate when actuality, you know, I need to just allow things to be and play out in divine timing. But for
right
me,
on.
that's a challenge for me because
okay.
I am impatient. And I am like, okay, I want this to happen now. So how can I make this happen now? And, you know, maybe I'm not working hard enough. And so I'll start second guessing myself. You know, and I think that happens for a lot of people because we just, you know, we see something we want to get done. And we just, it's hard for us to just let things come into play in life.
Yeah.
I think for most people, that's a challenge. And me too, I'm with you there. And
yeah.
So I'm so fortunate to have my children and my amazing husband because they are so quick to bring me back to, reality and
right.
help show me, you know, so it works out really good. But, you know, I've went through that recently. And then, you know, my new book, I actually have the 3 books out and then I have the new one coming out in February.
It is the fourth. Okay. That's what I
yeah.
thought. Right. Because you wrote a woman's guide as well, right? You wrote the boy's guide,
right.
the girl's guide, and then the woman's guide. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yep. And then Reshaping Reality, Creating Your Life is going to be out in February 2012. And, you know, it was supposed to be out in October, and that didn't work out, and then it was coming out in January, and then I just got an email yesterday from my publisher, and it's looking like it's going to be more towards February. So, you know, that's kind of, I think that that's presenting itself for me to be like, you know, it's okay. Just let it come out in divine timing and take the extra time to add more to it and, you know, really, because this book is so monumental to me. Like, it's so huge. It's such a big thing. And the response I've been getting from people who have been reading the manuscript has been amazing. I mean, one lady told me she read the first 6 pages and couldn't stop crying. And, you know, like,
aww.
It's just been, how many people's lives this book's going to give back to them. And so it's really an amazing thing to me, you know? So I'm like, I want it to be perfect. So it's fine. You know, it'll come in time. I'm totally
yeah.
cool with it coming as it comes. So, but,
right on.
That's where I've been
right
energetically,
on.
And I've been super happy. You know, I'm always happy. I just think life's such a privilege. I mean, when I wake up and I'm in my down moods, I remind myself of that. You know, like I have so many opportunities to live, to speak, to you know, witness so much love on our planet. And so I just I'm loving it. I'm loving life.
Right on. I'm actually loving life. Literally, authentically, like, and I've never felt this way before. I mean, there is like profound loving of life for me in my experience, and you know that's why because my life is coupled with those moments of this deep love that I'm experiencing, and it's a deep love for self, it's a deep love for the world, the planet, you know, everything. And I mean everything. I mean, you know, the Illuminati and all of that stuff and, you know, even, you know, all the shit that's hitting the fan. I mean, and when I say that I'm loving it, it's like I just seem to have this, and I believe it's available to everybody. It's just a there's a presence that, you know, is allowing us to witness what's happening and be, and yet be in the witnessing of it, not be a part of the drama. Even if it's our own lives, and I'm not just talking about watching stuff on TV and you know, getting all, you know, swirly-twirly about, but I mean, even in my own life, just, it just appears that there's like there's a love mist in the air that is available to anybody and everybody who's willing to just see that life is very different right now. I mean, categorically different from the building blocks of reality all the way up to how we express ourselves creatively. It just feels very magical to me right now. And I, like I said, I say that because, you know, and I have these weird things going on, like I can't get a nanny job. Well, I won't say I can't get a nanny job. I have not gotten a nanny job, you know, in many months, and I'll sleep for like 16 hours a day sometimes. You know, and it's like, I have a clarity that says, but it's all as well, you know, and it's like,
right.
So you're going to trust yourself, or you're going to trust what, you know, the Wall Street Journal is saying about the economy. You know, it's like, because I don't know what the changes are that are happening. I just know I'm a part of the changes. And I don't know about you, but I feel very connected to Mother Nature in all of my in all of my serenity and confidence. It is coming from, it's not just, it's Mother Nature / self.
Right.
I don't know if you, well, I guess Michigan. So, has winter hit you guys yet? I mean, are you 10 feet in snow?
No, you know, actually we've gotten little to no snow. I mean, it's been
40
degrees out.
Yeah,
really
right on.
It's strange for this time of year. But you know what? Like, I agree with you with as far as Mother Nature, because how can you not look at the earth and look at, I mean, just the, like, for me, like, you know, like I watch the Animal Planet shows and all those, I can't get enough of it, because it is awe. It just completely blows my mind at how intricately our earth works together, and how the people work together, and how everything's connected. I mean, you can sit and try and stand separate from everybody, you know, in your ego, in an ego mindset. But in reality, I mean, we are all so completely intertwined. It blows my mind. Absolutely.
Right on. And the truth is, I think it's actually taking more effort at this point to hold the drama of the separation than it is to surrender to the connectedness. You know, it takes more, because it would appear, because I had a hit the other day. I mean, I'm sure you remember, I asked some pretty deep questions, just from life itself, because that's my gig. You know, my gig is to contemplate, you know, the unfathomable, as my partner Jeannie always says. And, you know, all this stuff about the end of the Mayan calendar, you know, I wanted to know from within. I kind of asked nature and my higher self. It's like, well, what is this? You know, God bless it. It's a big ending of time. Is it just that they ran out of room on the rock, or, you know, what? What exactly does this mean, the end of time? And I guess it's an accumulative answer, but the conclusion that I'm getting is that the end of the Mayan calendar is the end of man or humanity thinking it's the reign, it's the top of the food chain, that it's going to humbly submit itself, whether it agrees to it or not, in other words, it's not being asked, to the true master player, so to speak, of this game, which is Mother Nature or Earth or Gaia and our higher selves. That, you know, and how that is going to manifest, you know, it's all, you know, it's like the veil is being, you know, the whole apocalypse is actually the words for the veil being removed and, you know, the truth being shown. And it's so interesting because we've been so upside down. When all this truth is being shown, it looks and appears like everything's going into chaos and you know, dysfunctioning and, you know, nothing's working. But, you know, when you understand that it's upside down, it's like, no, this isn't dysfunction. This is reorganization back to, you know, nature, love, soul, eternity, those aspects being the power station, so to speak, of our manifestations, of our creations, of our experiences, and not because the dark has lost, simply because that time is ending. You know, we contracted ourselves to be in a dark space. That's why we're not victims here. We came here by choice. And, you know, I like anything that's empowering. You know, any kind of, you know, we've been talking a lot about belief systems. I know that you have flipped a lot of your belief systems from when you were a child to who you are now. And, you know, I think it's extremely important where we used to focus a lot on kind of the, like what you were saying, the getting things done. And
right.
I honor that. But I believe the magic that we're seeing, which looks like, you know, it's an energy that's tearing everything down, is a much more, it's a subtle energy that is not inherently so much in the doing as it is in, it wants us aligned in harmony with, you can do as much as you want, but it's got to be based in joy. And here's the thing. I know you enjoy writing your books and being the cheerleader. I truly do know that about you. You're on my show because you're authentic. I'm very conscious about having authentic guests on my show. But there's also a change going on for all of us because I authentically love children, and my soul is giving me the message, I know you want to keep nannying, but you're done nannying.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And it's like, you don't get the answers that way. You get the answers, and I'm not saying don't publish a book. You know what I'm saying? It's just, this is what I'm experiencing by being a human being living on the planet. And you know, absolutely in the same, you know, regime, so to speak, as you are, where nothing gets me down. You know, I mean, meaning I'll feel my down moments, but I'll never stay down. Are you kidding me? I'm just eternally, you know, I'm the jack in the box. As long as you keep twirling me enough, inevitably I pop back up. It's just,
right.
You know, you know, and I know that that's your philosophy too. It just appears to me, deep down the rabbit hole, which seems to be very much, I guess, kind of deep connected into this planet, the rules of engagement have shifted. Even if we think it's what we're supposed to be doing, there's a higher joy and a higher, there's something higher. And from what I'm getting, from what I'm reading, it is almost like, think bigger than you even thought that you could dream. And I'm not quite sure what that means.
I think that with me, there, to me, the whole entire limit thing that people put on themselves, you know, like as far as dreaming bigger than you could ever dream, is because the issue with that is that so many people don't think that they're worth something bigger. You know, like I live in the small town, you know, we've talked about that a lot of times. And the small town, people are very limited, you know, like I've had people say, you know, well, you could do that, but I could never do that. Not just about my books, but I'm talking about anything. You know, like I organize a huge festival food pantry, you know, whatever. Anyways, every year. And people around here are just floored by it. They're like, oh, my goodness, I could never do that. Well, why not? You know, or I've had people say to me, you know, because, you know, you get these goals and you hear the word no once and you turn around and you go, okay, it's not for me. That's not true. You have to keep, if it's something that you're passionate about, like when you know when you feel alive, like this is what's for me.
That's true.
I know when
That's
I'm
true.
Happy. You know, I know when I feel passionate and alive and experiencing like something amazing. Like when you're doing something and you lose track of time, it's because you're so passionate and so wrapped up in it and it feels so good that the time doesn't exist right then. You know, it's frozen basically.
Right. Yep.
And when I am living my truth, just like everybody else in the world, those are the experiences that you have to build on. And those are the times when you have to look and go, okay, this is what lights my fire. So I'm going to keep doing it until it doesn't anymore. And, you know, there are many things that I've tried, many different things that I've worked for, and I've looked at them and went, you know, it's just not working. It's not what I want to do. You know, just like last year, you know, I was pregnant and I just looked around at stuff and I was like, you know, I don't want to do that anymore, you know, as far as my work goes. And so I quit doing them because there are things that are going to work and there are things that aren't going to work. Does that mean you're a failure? No, that means you're stepping into something that's more real for you. And I think we're constantly evolving, constantly growing. And the minute that we stop moving forward and we stop changing things and we stop quitting the things that don't work and adding new things that might work and might not work and trying, that's when we stop living. I mean, that's just my perception, of course. But
No. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, because, you know, that's another thing that seems to be shifting is, like, I got this hit today when I was out in the woods that, you know, we are one with the cosmos. And I mean literally, we are the planets and the galaxies out there and, you know, the solar systems. And not just, I don't just mean the Milky Way. I mean, literally, you know, I'm learning that all those billions of and trillions of stars out there, those are aspects of us. And what's so interesting is, we've always looked at, the human species has always looked at the cosmos on a timeline of, you know, like billions of years. So, you know, 90 years on a timeline of a billion, you know, is truly, you know, a blink at best. But what's interesting is the Mayan calendar, this whole shift, we are indeed letting go of time, too. So now all of a sudden, we're having galactic awarenesses, not in a billion years, but like 3 months, let's just say. You know, in other words, whatever it used to take the cosmos, you know, billions of years to recognize, we're now doing in days and weeks and months. And those are huge shifts and changes that we're becoming aware of, because, and the simple fact is, it's just we're becoming aware that it's us. It's us out there. There's no out there even. Out there is in here. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, 2012, talk about an auspicious year coming up. You know, could we have any more of an auspicious year than, you know, I think the only one that comes close would have been when we came into 2000, when, you know, the whole Y2K and, you know, it's like, but this is not just Y2K, you know, 2012. This is, you know, the staple of our, of who we are, who we believe ourselves to be, our religions, our belief systems, our spirituality. All of that is coming into a space of dramatic change, and it's not even coming into it. We're in it. We're in the space of dramatic change. I mean, the whole, you know, Occupy New York and all, you know, the Occupy Wall Street all over the place, and, you know.
Well, I think people are learning more confidence. They're gaining more confidence in what they believe.
Yes.
You know, they're questioning because even, I mean, like when I, like I live in the small town, you know, and it's very very low diversity, very straight-laced, very one way. But, you know, I also see people who are stepping outside of that box, you know, more and more people each day. And I think that the more confidence we gain within ourselves, the more we're realizing, okay, we're good, we're divine, we're perfect. We love, the more love we're learning for ourselves, the more we're learning it's okay to be our true selves. That just changes everything. You realize that. When you realize it's okay to be who you are and the validation from, you know, your neighbor or the lady at the school or your parents or your spouse or anybody else, then, I mean, imagine the, I mean, that's just a dramatic shift in your life. And
I
think that definitely, I mean, like as far as religion goes, I mean, they're saying more and more that Christianity is losing, you know, whatever, more and more and more. There's stuff out all the time on it. Because more people...
Christianity is falling apart right now. It really is.
And
that's a major thing to collapse around the world, because they went around the world forcing themselves on everybody during the Roman Empire. I mean, like, Christianity didn't just naturally and organically grow. They literally grew by the sword. And now what's so interesting is that which grows by the sword dies by the sword.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's about time, because, I mean, there's so many people who are living in fear by that. I mean, I've watched friends of mine tell their kids, you know, if you do that, you will go to hell, you know, and I've just been, like, shocked.
Yeah, they use it against the kids.
How do you respond to that? How do you even do that? I don't know. It's mind-blowing.
Well, clearly they believe it. I mean, so that's the first thing. They believe it themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, it's what they've known. So,
I
think it's really
so
great.
Interesting. It's like, because I'm finding the dogma, and the dogma's in science as well. This is another new thing I've learned. Science is also a religion, in the sense of, you know, scientists, they tend to hold on to a truth, and it's similar to, like, when, you know, we all believe the earth was flat, you know, and it's
right.
Like there's new information coming in, and if a scientist isn't willing to hold new truths about the building blocks of reality, they're in the same type of dogma that holds them that you're going to hell if you're not respectful. You know, you must live by a God-fearing God. You know, it's like, and that's what's so interesting. See, it's not one sect in this change. You know, every creature, every object, everything in our cosmos is being affected by this change, which is, I mean, so magnanimous, to use a very big word. How would that show up to have almost like this simultaneous awakening, you know, of everything? And that is the dark, the light, the whole of it all
is experiencing a
shift. Pardon?
Yeah. I think it's been a long time coming, because if you look, I mean, things have been progressing. I mean, just like you go back to, like, you know, women had no rights. And then, you know, like when I was younger and my dad was beating my mom, it was taboo. You know, nobody talked about it. There wasn't, there were not victims advocates. There was not victims rights. You know what I mean? It was like, basically, there wasn't all these battered women shelters. You know, I mean, there were a few, but it wasn't abundant like it is now, you know, and now you look at something like that. I mean, I'm just using that as an example of something that's
progressed. That's a good example. You're right.
So you think about that, and it's just like homeschooling, you know. It's just such a crazy thing, but I just think people get so programmed into one way, but now I just see so many people awakening. And it's really amazing. And I'm sure that's because it's the people that attract me, is because that's the kind of people, you know, that I want to be in my circle of reality. But my point is this is just one more step, and things are going to keep progressing, and things are going to keep changing. And I think that so many people are living in so much fear about this, about 2012, and they're, they're kind of wasting their time.
I agree in that it's not, if you're worrying about it all the time, it's the prayer of you're creating everything you don't want, because attention's on it, and you are creating even though you're worrying. It is a creative force. Right on.
Yes. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it. I just think it's one of the many things that's happening that's amazing, and, take advantage of it and do what you can with it and, you know. Be happy.
Yeah, well, and you know what because most people are seeing the destruction. Very few people are seeing the creativity that's being birthed on the planet right now. And it is abundant. And it's funny because, like you, I gravitate to the people that, you know, have this open mind. And like, almost all of my friends right now are artists, whether they're artists of food, music, paint, you know, pencils. And it's so funny because I've had this thing my whole life that I was not creative, because I was basically told that, you know, I was told no musical talent, no artistic talent. And here I am at the greatest point of my life, hanging out with artists, you know, exchanging ideas and I mean, and you remember. I mean, I love being deep down the rabbit hole. I want to talk about anything that makes anybody else not want to talk about it. Whatever it is you don't want to talk about, that's what I want to talk about. Well, and it's partially because, I mean, well, it's partially because, you know, Goldie's a bull in a china shop, and that's her job. I am the catalyst. Mm-hmm. But part of it is because it's exactly like what you just said. The powers that be utilize secrets and that secretive energy. That is what we have. That is the energy we're coming out of, that there is powers and secrets. Because all you have to do is look around. The 1% that everybody's, you know, kind of, you know, marching around protesting against is the power families that were all parts of secret societies. So, you know, when we had the contract, it's true, there was power in the secrets, you know, and we contracted to experience that opposite of who we are when we're anywhere else in the cosmos besides here. You know, like a good friend of mine, Daniel Jacobs, says, when you know you're everything, if you were to have a vacation, you would take a vacation in limitation, because if you know you're everything and you're eternally knowing it, what's left for you to experience? Limitation is what you would want to experience when you know you're everything. But the problem is, you know, we came to a space and we forget that we came here to experience that, and that, you know, there's another aspect of ourselves that is in total, you know, cognition, you know, acknowledging all the crap we went through and or are going through. I mean, people like you and me, we've kind of been through it, but we've done the work, because I'm trying to tell everybody right now, the potential to shift a space that's dark into a space that's empowering has never been as amplified as it is right now. I mean, it's unbelievable if people will just take the moment to go within, and instead of seeing the triggers on the outside, see the triggers on the outside is something being told about themselves on the inside. You know, which yeah. seems so simple, doesn't it? You know, it's like this isn't. It doesn't have to be. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it seems simple, but it's not simple for people who are programmed, you know. Like, I see people like this all the time. They've been living such a cycle for so many years, and they're so closed off to anything, to any even opportunity of anything wrong with themselves. You know, they're very ego-based, like extremely
yeah.
hardcore living in the three-dimensional ego world. And, you know, when it's like that for someone, it is a challenge. It's a commitment. You know, I know you've heard my story, and I have people.
No, share though.
Older.
Share. It's been a while too. I mean, I want. I have a new audience now, so share.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was young, my parents were both alcoholics and drug abusers, and there was a lot of domestic violence, a lot of homelessness, a lot of kidnapping. I mean, my dad used to kidnap me all the time. We'd have to sleep mm-hmm. in the car, you know. Well, I grew up with very low self-esteem. My mom had, after she finally left my dad, there was a parade of strangers in and out of our house constantly. You know, it was just, she was constantly beat. I can remember in second grade, like, shoving her in a ditch because one of them was trying to run her over. I mean, it was just continuous oh. behavior like that. And the moving, I mean, the unsettling, moving constantly, and then not having a place to live. There was 3 separate times we were completely homeless, living on a river in a car, you know, or in a tent. And anyway, so it led to me having low self-esteem, all of, you know, watching all of these behaviors. I ended up turning to boys and alcohol, and I was wild, out of control in high school. And I ended up pregnant at 16, had my baby at 17. You know, so I went through all of these experiences, and I chose not to be a statistic. You know, I can remember when they told me I was having a baby girl, and I said, she will not be a statistic, and I will do whatever I have to do to work for her not to be that, because it's not fair to her, you know. And I have worked that, and I've made the commitment. And I've made mistakes, and I still make mistakes. We all do, and that's okay. But what I'm right saying on. Is stop the cycle. My sisters, I have an older sister and a younger sister, and it is incredible how like our life they are. They live their lives almost identical. I mean, as far as like the homelessness, the abusiveness, the alcohol, the drugs,
right.
It is like walking
right.
through a mirror into my childhood when I go into either one of their homes by choice. Because, you know, and that was something that like, wow, how amazing is it that I can choose my life? Like, you choose your life. Everybody chooses their life. You see these people sitting around going, oh, poor me. I'm a victim. Oh, my mom drank and I was sexually abused and blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a million stories out there. And I'm not giving meaning to those. I know that that's meaningful. It's something that happened to you. I understand that. But it doesn't mean it defines who you are today. You know,
right.
it happened to you. Take it. Learn what you can from it and heal yourself. And if you have to get help to heal yourself from it, then do it. It's okay. But you know what? Don't live your life blaming every other person, because I could easily do that. I could stand and go, oh, I'm going to live on welfare and I'm never going to go anywhere and I'm never going to do anything. I had a kid when I was 17 and my mom did drugs and my dad beat my mom and my mom was beat by dog chains in our front. You know, I could go on for days, right?
Yeah.
What do you think it is inside you that motivates that commitment that you say, you know, to your firstborn, you will not experience the cycle like I did? Well, because, you know, that's what it's got to be triggered in people internally. It's got to be, because otherwise it doesn't stick. You know what I'm saying?
It's choice.
Like,
yeah.
Well, it's a choice, but there's a motivation to do it because it is. So it's an uphill battle initially. You don't cruise until you're, you know, in the space that you know you're not going to be that person. But initially, you know, the third dimension, all odds are against you succeeding. They really are.
You know, and I hear that all the time. And I was just on a show with a psychologist, and he's like, I had to talk to you because I cannot. He's like, I deal with people that go through stuff like this all the time. He's like, I cannot grasp how you got out of it, you know, without
right.
any...
That's the nugget. We got to get...
Yeah.
So let's see if we can, you know, the two of us.
Okay, fine with me.
You know what I'm saying? Because if we can get that just as an aha, something for them to I get that it drops in, you know, as a thought, but it's like, I'm just getting the sense that, I mean... It's just got it. Something's got to light the fire within. From my opinion, it's the soul's timing. Like when this, because, you know, I was on drugs for 12 years, basically on a daily basis. You know, I didn't see sobriety pretty much from the time I was 18 until I was 30. And, you know, I mean, so many people were like, you're going to die doing that. And, you know, I came close on several occasions. So what brings me out of it? I this drive, and it's like, well, what is that drive? Because for me, it was the drive that I was like, I'm just way too smart making stupid choices. Find it, Goldie.
Right.
Find it in yourself why you're making such incredibly stupid choices. And I don't know. I guess for me, I saw that as not as being, I wasn't humiliated because I was making stupid choices. I was driven from, like, the core of me always knew you're not a stupid person, even though your life is just way messed up right now. Way messed up.
I know. I
but you're not a stupid person. So,
yep.
What?
I said sometimes I look at my past and myself back then, and I'm like, whoa, wow,
yeah.
that's something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I really honestly can tell you from the deep part of my soul, the reason why I am not living that cycle is because I don't want to. And I know it sounds simple, and I know, you know, so many people think that it has to be complicated and you have to go through this step, and this step. But you know what I did? I picked up a book when I was 18 years old, and it said it was Choosing Happiness. And I read the book from front to back, and I was like, oh, my. I mean, it freaking hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like,
right on.
You mean
right
I choose my life? You mean I do this? This is up to me? And from that point forward, I mean, I choose, and I choose every day, and I teach my kids that you choose your day, you choose your moment, and you're going to have off days, and you're going to have off moments, but then you have to have something of gratitude to bring you back. And, I mean, we do this all the time in my family. I'll wake up and I'll be like, yeah, I'll tell my girl I'm off today, and they'll say, okay, well then change it, Mom, you know, change it. And that is helpful to me to be able to look at my life and go, why the hell would I waste 1 minute of this day? I mean, I'm alive, you know, I don't know. And I know that that sounds simple, but it's true. I mean, it's my truth. It's so easy for me to look around and, you know, just recently, my aunt got diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and she isn't an aunt that I'm like super close to, but we grew up around her a lot. And she's from here in Michigan, so I've seen her a lot. And so I love her, you know, she's my aunt.
Right.
She's a very kind person, and she got Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's progressed extremely fast to the point where now she's on a feeding tube. And I look at her and I go, she can't even speak. She can't speak her mind anymore. She can't eat. She cannot eat a hamburger. She cannot drink a Pepsi, you know. And to me, that's insane to me. Because I think we all have these voices and we take them for granted, and we're so scared to speak our truth, and we're so scared that people might look at us if we, you know, walk down the road doing cartwheels or, you know, shout out from the top of a mountain how we feel, and we stand up to people who we feel like are being mean to us, then, oh my goodness, you know, we're out of the box, and that's just, society might frown on it. But don't we realize what a privilege it is that we get to speak, that we get to have our voice, because some people don't? And that was like a wake-up moment for me. When my aunt, that just recently, because I was like, holy crap, I have this voice, and I'm going to be heard, and I'm going to help people
right
get their
on.
Voice
right
heard
on.
However
right
I can.
On.
You know, so, I mean, to break the cycle to me was very easy, and I know it's not for everybody, but I mean that honestly as I possibly can say that. It was easy for me, and it's easy for me to choose every day to not live like that. I don't want to struggle. I know life's a gift. I don't want it to be hard. You know, it's not supposed to be hard.
Right.
I want to enjoy it and laugh and have fun. And every day, it is a commitment. I'm not saying it happens overnight for people, because I am committed to it. And I surrounded myself with people who I want to be proud of me and who I want to show, you know, I want to build their confidence and teach them, you know, how to live this empowered life. So if I'm sitting back in this cycle of, you know, self-hatred, which is what I see so much with, like, my mom and my sisters, and it's heartbreaking, but it's who they are. It's what they choose. And, you know, that's a big thing for people right now dealing with family, you know, with the holidays. Like,
absolutely.
We have to,
absolutely, yes.
You do not owe your family anything. You're not obligated to them because they are your family. You do not have to take their abuse because you're related to them. That's ridiculous. You are a person. Honor yourself. And I don't care if it's your mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. You do not have to stand abuse from anybody. And that's been a huge thing for me, too, because, I mean, for so many years, I let people abuse me mentally, you know, emotionally, never physically, because I wouldn't allow that. But, you know, I would take their crap over, oh, it's my mom, oh, it's your mom, oh, it's okay, it's your brother. No, no, absolutely not. I will honor myself, and I will show my children how to honor themselves, and I will not tolerate somebody treating me like crap. I don't care who they are. And
right,
that's my advice,
Dave,
for all of you.
Right on.
Sorry, I went on a little tired.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, no, you're a cheerleader with spunk.
Yeah.
No, it's right on, though. You're absolutely right. It's choice. I haven't met a person who's gone through the awakening who hasn't had to literally tell family, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I've done it. Everybody I know has basically had, you know, and it's not that, you know, it doesn't have to be a done not in love. It's just love of self says, like you were saying, I'm no longer the child. You know, I now have control over my experiences, because it's not that, you know, like bless my mother. My mother let me not go to family functions when I was 13. Because they used to go over this, you know, similar to like how you're raising your girls. So we would go, we had this family we used to celebrate Hanukkah with, and you know, the mom was just really mean to me. I mean, the basic premise of the family was they were all very, very heavy. They were all obese. And the woman had two daughters. So I was a skinny girl. You know, I was nothing. I was less than 100 pounds most of my life. So she would take it out on me that her girls were heavy, and yet my brother, she loved, because she wanted her daughter, her oldest, to marry my brother.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So it, you know, there was a dynamic totally being played, like, you know, we're going to treat Goldie like crap and we're going to treat her brother, you know, like he's literally Adonis the god. And I was like, oh, this is just bull. You know, I'm like, Ma, I don't want to go. And she was like, well, then don't go. And then the story became, so then I sat home by myself while everybody else went over there to do Hanukkah. And it was like, you know, I'm like, well, damn. It's not really a win when you're just sitting home by yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, it was a little hard, you know, even though I would highly, I still did it because I was like, you know what? I'm not going over there to be treated like crap. I don't care about the gift. I don't, you know. You got to,
and you can,
what I, you know, don't you agree that it's tough decisions? You know, in other words, even the right decision doesn't always feel, you know, like roses and harps. You know, it doesn't always feel great doing what's best for you because, like, well, for me, I've always wanted to be accepted and yet have pretty much zero tolerance to anybody that, you know, is just, you know, blatantly disrespecting me. And I'm not looking to kick anybody's ass or make their beliefs change. I'm simply looking, I don't want to be around you then. You know, you go your way, I'll go my way, you know. But that has left me alone a lot as well. See, you're blessed with, you know, your daughters and your family. I didn't have that.
You know, though,
so
I also, even though I have my family, I a lot of times, you know, like as far as like my mom and my sisters, they have a lot of the same energy and they spend a lot of time together. Like they just went shopping a couple days ago. And I was so hurt. I was like, they didn't even call and tell me. Not that I want to be around them, but they should call and tell me because I am a part of, you know, like I, to me. So for me and in my area, I mean, especially in my area, oh my goodness, if you could come here, you would understand what I'm talking about. I have reached out and I've tried to, you know, make the friends in this area. And I've worked really hard for that. But you know what? When people are so different, and I'm not saying better or not as good, I'm saying people live so differently. And if your vibrations don't match theirs in any sense, any way, you know, then you start looking at yourself and you go, well, what's wrong with me? Maybe it's me, you know, because that's our self-criticism.
Yeah.
And we start going, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Where, you know, and you have to realize that, you know, you are an individual and you might feel lonely sometimes, but honoring yourself is just so much bigger than that. And that's something that so many people can't get, you know, and just like that lady, I mean, you not going over there was so much power for you. And you see these people, I mean, I see them on an hourly basis when I'm out and about, that are just conforming. They're just trying so hard to get someone to like them.
Yeah,
you know,
drives
me nuts. It drives me nuts. Like, I seriously get pissed off. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, because you know, you meet these people and you know them, and you're like, you're not even like that. Why are you pretending so that you can fit in so your daughter makes a cheerleading squad? I mean, seriously? You know, and that's frustrating for me too. But I definitely have went through the alone thing, and I still do, even with my girls, because I know my girls and I have keys and they're amazing and they're the world to me. But, you know, once in a while I get to the point where I'm like, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I should just conform. And then I realize, I'll look at myself and I'll go, is that the life I want to live? Absolutely not.
Or could you live that truly? Do you think you could live that?
No.
Yeah, of course you couldn't. You couldn't. Not, yeah,
no.
Exactly.
No, but,
like, I couldn't either. Right. I mean, there's...
When a majority of the people are in that cycle, you
know. I know.
You're an odd man out, but really...
It's a minority. We are not a large group.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
And yet... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying, yeah, definitely. You go ahead. I would agree.
Yeah, well, because... And what I'm learning is it doesn't... The energy and the presence of authenticity, we don't need a large group to change everything. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it is through the small group that everything is happening anyways. Even though, I mean, it is getting bigger in the sense of, you know, these Occupy Wall Streets are literally worldwide. I mean, you know, I don't know how much change, you know, is being created from them as much as I feel for the first time. It just feels like the country is starting to go to a space where I call they're on their knees. You know what I mean? Because I know from my own dark night of the soul, there's a point where you go on your knees and you just surrender that the way you've been living your life, is the way that works for you, because you get to a point where you go, it just doesn't. This doesn't work for me. I mean, you had that awareness at 17. I didn't have that till 30. And I think there are people that go even older, you know, and don't have it until they're in their 40s and 50s. But it's,
right.
But when it comes, you know, I do, because I really do have this, like, sense that in 2012, there will be people that have been just passionately sharing the wisdom of this ascension and, you know, genuinely walking their talk, that on some level the masses are going to, you know, they're going to be ringing our bell, so to speak, going, you know, the proverbial statement when Harry met Sally, saying, I'll have what she's having.
Right, right.
You know,
and you know, you can hope for that, and, you know, you can be that light. And,
yeah,
that, I mean, that's
yeah.
the way I look at it. And that's why, you know, even in what I do is I turn to, like Facebook. Huge for me. Because
yeah,
the people
too.
On there.
Me too.
Oh, they're so amazing. And I love them. I love every single one of my Facebook friends, and they build me up.
All
and,
give
you know,
your
I,
Facebook out. Give your address
oh,
out, babe.
It's just under Robin Marvel.
Okay.
They'd have to type in Robin Marvel. And you know, because I feel like it's so inspiring, and it's such a good relationship. So when I don't get that around my own area, because some of us don't, I mean, there's a lot of people that live in areas that are very low, very heavy. We need that outside source, you know, and Facebook has become
yeah.
that for me. I mean,
yeah.
the last 2 years.
Me too.
So,
me too.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, I think that we find those people, we draw those people to us. And I mean, we're still going to deal with people who are, you know, vibrationally low, and you just have to, you know, keep being who you are. I mean, I think that's
yeah.
great for people to do. I mean, no matter what you're feeling, not fitting in, things like that, I mean, it's okay. As long as you're being true to you, then you're really winning, as far as I'm concerned.
Right on. Good words. Strong words. And I agree, because I'm still not fitting in, but I am becoming more and more comfortable with, you know what, I'm comfortable fitting in with me, because
right.
I've been in situations where, you know, like you were saying earlier, I tried to conform, and I am so miserable when I'm trying
yep.
to conform. I don't function well. It's literally, it's so funny, because it's the flip side of the, when I'm being authentic, I'm consumed with my soul. And I really believe that is the presence of my authenticity, my soul. And yet when I'm conforming, I am consumed with it almost feels like a disease inside me that's eating me alive, that just is, you know, as great as the soul feels, is as painful as that entity feels when I'm not being me. I mean, it's showing up more and more. Pardon?
It breaks your spirit. You know, when you're not being true to who you are, your spirit
yeah.
is slowly broken, and the longer you stay in that state, the more broken it gets, you know. And that's why I think so many people, once they start being true to who they are, and once they're not worried about being, you know, the popular person, they're not fitting in. And you see this a lot.
Right,
like,
on.
I talk about this in
yes.
my book. Like, people in high school, right? Like, they're a certain way, and they wear a certain brand clothes, and they don't talk to a certain group of people. Well, like in my town, now you see those people who would never speak to, you know, this person in this clique, person in this clique. They would never speak to them. They were never good enough for them in high school. Well, now they're married to that person. You know what I mean? So, you know, you get taught the certain belief system. You know, like ego to me is a passed on trait. You know, I totally believe that completely. I think that kids learn their parents' egos, and they're taught to behave a certain way. And I've witnessed this a lot when I was in high school, and even watching
yeah.
kids now in high school. You know, and I think that they just get in this state where they think that's how I have to be. But then once they're out of school and reality kicks their ass a couple times and tells you, you know, you're not on the football team anymore, so you're not going to have people, like, bowing to you as you walk down the hallway, they're like,
yeah.
oh, wait,
yeah.
you know, real life happens, and then they're more open, and you see people. I mean, like, I can remember after high school, these two girls couldn't be more opposite. One was, like, super rich and all the makeup and, like, the popular girl, homecoming queen, blah, blah, blah. One was, like, a fighter and aggressive, and she was, you know, like, she was just, you know.
Like a street girl, it, more a street girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would never have been seen in high school together. I bet they weren't even out of high school a year, and they were moved in together.
you know, best friends.
Huh.
So it's just, it's so funny how we all get taught these beliefs and the way we're supposed to be. And then once we can break free of that, it's like we come alive. You know, we're like alive.
Right on.
And it's,
yeah,
so it's really cool. So, I mean, I believe that. I believe you can't conform, because if you're living in a life where you're miserable and unhappy, then you need to change it. Something needs to happen. There's something.
Well, because
you
if you don't, you know what? That's what I think the tumors and the cancers are really all about.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I agree.
It is
yep.
It's a subconscious choice to not being authentic. Because it's just the energy needs to move. And, I mean, it needs to be expressed. And it needs to be expressed authentically. It's not, you know, it's not a controlled experiment, so to speak. It's an out-of-control experiment. You know, it's like, I don't know, I just get this total sense that there's an aspect to us, what I call the wild woman, and it's an archetype. And there's a wild man as well. And, you know, I definitely believe that, you know, education, medication, and religion have just attempted to squash the wild side of who we are. The, you know, the more, not primitive, just...
the more true.
You know, the more authentic that, you know, the rule breaker. Did you ever hear that manifesto thing? The video of, you know, all you rule breakers and troublemakers.
Yes.
And
definitely. Yep.
You know, and it's so true to everybody that, you know, because, like, I started to see it a lot in my own life in that, like, I have a relationship, an on and off going relationship, and at the moment we're on, and I'm always grateful when we're on, because I just absolutely adore this man. And I recognize that, you know, our rules are our rules for what the engagement of this relationship working. It's not a standard, and it's not a, it might not work with somebody else's relationship, but it's like, you know, that's the thing. Nothing's cookie cutter. You can't take relationships and you can't take the things that really bring meaning to your life and think it's going to follow a standard pattern that fits over all of, you know, all of humanity, because, you know, that doesn't take into play all the quirkiness and all our, you know, all the stuff that makes us each unique beings. That's the part that, you know, that's the stuff that I think is the juice of life. You know, it reminds me, because right now I'm visualizing Good Will Hunting, when Robin Williams was talking to Matt Damon, saying all the stuff he missed about his wife after she died was that, you know, she farted in her sleep, you know, I don't know, you know, she would sneeze and milk would come out of her nose. You know, it was like everything you would think the glamour magazines would never show. You know what I mean? All the stuff that made her real were her, the foibles and the flaws, not the airbrush face and, you know, the perfect body and, you know, not the perfectness, but the stuff that made him laugh and the stuff that made him see her as just her. You know, it's like,
right,
we lost that when we became the Stepford, because where I live, it's the Stepford Wives. The cloning that's happening is, from my opinion, the Stepford Wives and the Stepford Children, you know, where exactly like you said, they all dress alike, they all drive the same cars, they're all extremely competitive, which is, in my humble opinion, children being competitive, you've just said goodbye to childhood.
That
competition is a disgusting side effect of quote-unquote growing up, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think there's the, you know, you have to, like you're saying, the real stuff, you have to nurture that real stuff. And, like, you know, talking about children, you know, I have the 5 girls, and this is my advice to any parent, nurture what your kid loves. You know, people are they're so adamant about putting their kids in a certain role. You know, like, you're gonna go to college, and you're gonna do this, and you're not gonna do this, and you're not, you know, and I'm guilty of it. When she was little, she's 15 now, but when she was little, I was like, okay, Emily,
school is all that matters and you're going to go to college. And she used to, you know, this was before I became more of an aware person. And I can remember when I had that
Thank you
shift,
for your honesty.
You know.
Right on.
Oh,
right on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've been there. I have no problem saying that. That's how I've learned. You know, I've did
right
this. And that's the thing that I try to explain to people, you know, when I do workshops and I do my books and I do seminars, I'm not just preaching at you. I've been there. I know,
yeah.
You know, I know we're all different, but I've dealt with that, and I want you to know I'm being totally true with you, and hopefully some of my situations can help you shift where you want to go in your life. And,
right.
You know, if I can help people do that, I mean, how much, that's just, I mean, that's it.
That's
all
the
I want
joy
to do.
Of your
that
coming
is.
To that realization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, as I started to awaken and I started to look and I started to go, wow, what am I doing? You know, I got my kid in public school, and she's being programmed into this perfect little minion of public school and fitting in and all this. And you know, it disgusts me now. And if I only would, you know, that great statement, if I only knew now, or if I only knew then what I know now, you know, but at least I learned before my other kids went. But anyways, my point is you have to nurture what they want. Like, you know, Emily went through a fashion design phase. So we sewed millions of outfits and we did tons of clothing, and Della went through a baking phase and we baked cakes and cupcakes, you know, and, you know, anything that feeds your passion to being alive. If you're alive sitting out in the yard drawing trees, do it. If your kid's alive, you know, they say they want to work at McDonald's, so what? If they're happy and it feeds their soul, I mean, I can honestly say to you, I do not care what my children do in their lives. If they change jobs every single year, I don't care, because the world is big. And as long as they're happy, as long as I can look at them and go, are you happy right now in your life? And they turn around and say yes, that's it. I mean, that's all this life is so big and it's so short. I mean, if you live to 100, I mean, that's still not a lot of time.
That's a blip.
Yeah,
right on.
It is. And I just think, you know, we smother so much of ourselves and our children. You know, we just smother ourselves and we go, oh, you know, it's too big. It's too big for me to write a book. No, it isn't. If that's your passion, do it. I don't care what it is. You want to mop floors the rest of your life, do it. And who cares what society or anyone else says, because you know who you have to answer to at the end of the day? You. Nobody else.
Right on.
You.
Right on.
So, you
right
know,
on.
It's just...
I remember before I was a nanny, I cleaned houses. And being raised in the Jewish faith, my family was not pleased that I was cleaning other people's toilets. I mean, because in the Jewish culture, you go to college, you make, you know, you become an engineer, a doctor, something that is going to make you a whole lot of money. But the truth is, they really didn't give a shit about my soul. They didn't care.
Right,
about,
no.
And it wasn't that I was passionate about cleaning toilets. What I was passionate about was I knew I couldn't work corporate. I couldn't work for other people because I just had this wisdom that it was all a crock of shit. It was all fake. And, you know, like, what are you guys working so hard for? I get it. It's the money, but it was so obvious they were unhappy. It was obvious that they were sickly, that their relationships were crap. I was like, I would much rather, you know, you know, I was my own boss. I had a partner, but it was like, you know, I was making good money working about 20 hours a week cleaning people's houses. And the ironic part was, being Jewish, I would sell it because I would meet people for the first time. They would give me the keys to their home, the codes to their security systems, and then tell me when they weren't going to be there.
Right.
You know, that, and I say that because I am a trustworthy person. I do have integrity, and, you know, but it was a matter of, you know, my mom was like, listen, what makes you happy? And I was like, I don't know what makes me happy, but I need to put money in my pocket, and I need to be my own boss, because I don't work well with anybody looking over my shoulder. And so it was kind of a natural morph for me. When the kids were first brought in, I was like, I mean, I just realized I didn't know I loved kids until the job kind of came to me, and it was like I didn't have anything else going on. Like you were saying, you know, I worked in Burger Kings, I worked in shoe stores, I worked at movie theaters. In my humble opinion, when our kids graduated 18, in my humble opinion, they should not go to college till at least they're 25. And in between 18 and 25, they should work at everything that they would want, or a bookstore, a travel agent, go hiking through Europe. They should do things to help them understand what their passion is and then go educate themselves in that passion. Not
right, I agree with that.
What will make you the most money, because, you know, it's a very interesting the world we live in today is, I believe that those Occupy Wall Street people are the people that chose the money over the passion. And in their misery, they're blaming the 1%. But like you were saying at the beginning of the show, it was their choice to do that. You know, it's like, and that choice, I think, is starting to become clear. The answer is no longer the high money paying jobs, you know, the lawyers, the engineers, and the doctors. The answer is the high paying soul. You know, what brings you truly the joy that keeps your body healthy, that keeps relationships in communication and open receptivity, you know, allowing for changes and growth. You know, it's like those are the things that have value, true value.
Right.
And
I definitely
agree. Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's very interesting to watch what's because I'm really curious to watch, you know, what like the kids in, you know, your the kids you're having, what they're going to do with the world. Because, you know, they're so, right now, I tell a lot of people, right now, I honor you, you know, you, my girlfriend Janine, you guys are writing books and you're publishing in one of the, in the middle of one of the most chaotic times in human history. You know, it's like, it takes a very special person to produce in such chaos. And I honor you, because for me, I'm kind of going, I'm going to wait till it settles, I think. Or at least this is what I tell myself, because whatever it is, like my big thing hasn't happened, even though my radio shows are clearly, these are my babies. You know, I'm happy to, you know, take these on the road. I mean, because one of my dreams is like, I would just love to, personally, I would love to hit colleges and talk to people that are, you know, just getting started about, you know, kind of what we're saying tonight. What's your passion? You know, choose classes that bring joy, and the rest will follow. And, you know, don't, you know, even though, because our culture is so based on, you know, they all want to be P. Diddy. You know, they want to own yachts, and I mean, that's the goal. And I get it. If that's the goal, anything I have to say in particular, they're not going to be interested in. You know what I mean? They want to know the fast track to the material world. But see, that's the thing. The earth is waking up, and she's going to say, okay, and it's enough of you just taking from me. Now it's time for you to recognize you are me.
Right.
It's not about taking from each other anymore. Now it's about nurturing each other. Why? Because it will feel just as good as it used to feel when we bought, you know, that new car or that new dress, or when we bought or put in our bodies the Prozac and the, you know, the other antidepressant. You know what I mean? It's like, we've been raised in a world that doesn't feel and doesn't acknowledge the connectedness, where now that's changing. And so everything about our culture and our way of living has to adapt to that change, because that's when we'll be in sync with the way life is, because it is life itself that is changing, you know, the rules of this game, the rules of engagement. It's life itself that's changing it. And we've never even given life itself, we've never even given it credit as being a player. Because she, especially the earth, I mean, the earth has essentially allowed us to take and take and take and take and take from her. And, you know, we all think, you know, we were basically in the 50s. I mean, that was, you know, a sign of our success, right? You know, how many cars do we have? How many houses do we have? And then by the 90s, it exploded into, you know, that whole, you know, the me generation of just, you know, just, I don't know, just a lot of misled beings. Am I preaching tonight? I apologize if I am.
No. I, you know, you said something. You said that
you honor that I'm publishing books in this time of chaos where everything's so chaotic. But I have to tell you, I don't interpret this time right now in chaos. And I know that sounds really weird because there is so much change going on. But for me, I don't live in it as chaotic. Like I don't take that energy into my life. Like I feel like I'm focusing on the kindness I put out. Like I don't watch the news and I don't read the newspaper and I stay as far away from you know, negative media. And I know that there's things going on and there's wars and there's fighting and there's this Occupy thing going on, which I know like virtually almost nothing about, just like posts I've seen on Facebook. I don't really know what it's about. I just know that it, you know, people on Facebook post a lot of stuff about it. That's all I know. Because to me, I feel like what we perceive and what we believe is what our life's going to reflect, you know. So for me, I want to reflect out into the world while I'm here. I want to reflect kindness and love and peace, and just like most everybody does, you know, hopefully. And so to me, if I live that, you know, like I stay in my bubble, you know, people say that to me all the time, you're in such a bubble, because my mom will call me and say, did you know about, and I'll be like, no, I don't care. I don't want to hear how so-and-so robbed a bank and they did, you know, I don't want to hear it. It's okay.
Right.
It is what it is. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not pretending like I live in, you know, I live in Candyland. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I just choose to not be a part of the chaos and let it play its part. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be, whether I'm all worked up and amped up and I'm posting things about it being horrific and I'm posting links to wars and, you know, whatever else is going on that's crazy in the world. But for me, separating myself from that allows me to live and reflect what I want to. I mean, does that make sense to you? Or
well, it does, but well, do you? Because I mean, from my perspective, the integration is an important aspect. And this is just my perspective. The integration of the darkness, I can't push it out because it has me. There are parts of me in that chaos, in that warring, in that you know, in that dark energy. I am a part of that. So I'm just curious if it, like, you know, because I mean, I honor the steadfastness of always keep the optimistic point of view, and you know, I guess I'm not sure how you like. Because doesn't it, like, how do you deal with somebody who comes to you who's in the chaos looking for answers if you're not addressing the chaos they're coming from?
Well, I can see it, but I don't make it a part of my life. You know, like, you see, like, people who are so involved with, like, this Occupy stuff, you know. They're really, really passionate, and they will post, like, I actually had a person on my Facebook who it's about everything government, you know. I mean, it's like aggressive.
The conspiracies,
you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, that's your belief. I don't care. You can believe whatever you want.
I know,
totally,
you know,
you know, open mind to it. But like, to make it, that let it define so much of who you are. You know, it's just like the war. Like, I see stuff and I'm like, oh my God, that's so sad. You know, but I'm able to, I guess, accept it as part of life. I don't live in it, I guess. I don't know how else to explain it. I guess this is how I've always been. You know, I feel like it is a part of who I am. I know it's a part of what's going on, and it's part of the whole. I do understand that completely. And if somebody, you know, is dealing with it face forward, you know, and they're coming to me and saying, then I guess I just tell them the same thing. You know, I try to eliminate as much of that as I can. Like, you can learn about it and be educated about it. I don't see the problem with that, but to let it consume you, to be so angry about it, and so, I just see that happen so much with people, you know, they fester in it, I guess.
Well, let me ask you,
and
I agree. No, and I totally honor you, because what I'm finding, see, the pendulum is, we're in extreme times right now. And what's interesting is there are people extremely involved in all the chaos. There are people extremely involved in all the love. In my humble opinion, the space to be is directly in the center.
Well, that's what I think I'm neutral.
Right. And neutral, though, doesn't get riled up. In other words, you can acknowledge it, but it's just not affecting you. You know, there's a neutrality of, you know what I'm saying? Like, if my button can still be pushed on something, I'm not neutral. I have to work towards neutrality. I mean, there's all
right.
sorts of ways. You know what I'm saying? Because I think ultimately different people are on different timelines, and it's almost like, you know, there's a perfection that's going on right now. Whatever it is everybody wants, in my humble opinion, everybody's going to get everything everybody wants from one end of the spectrum all the way through to the other. Now, for me, that's why I think it's very important to know where is it you want to be in life. Where do you what's the goals? What's the intention? Like my intention is to ascend from the duality itself. You know, being down the rabbit hole has been for one purpose and one purpose only: to learn how to get out of the fishbowl of this ascending, descending, descending, ascending, you know, because it's cyclical. We've done this for eons. Me, personally, I want out. I don't want to even play, you know, I don't want just the good times, because inevitably, whether it's after 1,000 years of peace or 2,000 years of, the procession of the equinoxes, inevitably in the land of duality, it's going to fall again. Now, but basically what I've been told at this particular time is you can get out of it completely. So I just want you to know I totally honor you and love and adore you, Robin. I think, oh, you're welcome. There's nothing not to love about you. It's just where I am today is, and I'm learning how to, I want to honor everybody that comes on my show. It's just I have to share where my perspective is, because it's where I'm at, but without being any, you know, there's no disrespect to your perspective. You know, it's just two beautiful beings sharing our perspectives. That's all.
Exactly.
Even
and
if it's in conflict, I think it's important to show people, hey, look, we can be in conflict and still love and admire and respect each other. Totally.
Yes, that's what it's all about. You know, it's okay for people to have different opinions and different views on things, and that's what makes the world so amazing, is there's so much diversity and there's so many. I mean, we each get to pick how we feel and how we think and how we live and how we perceive, and I think that's amazing, you know. And I love it when, I mean, the fact that we can talk about it, and you know, I can look at your perspective, you can look at mine, and we can go, you know, they're not the same, but so what? You know,
so what?
How
absolutely.
That, yeah. So
everybody
what?
Can pick,
yeah.
Right? You pick and choose,
yeah,
and resonate,
absolutely.
And we can still dance and light the candles and, you know, it's, you know, sip our Pepsi I love it. Yes, we're plugging Pepsi on this show. Yes.
I guess so. Send us some free Pepsi. So
exactly.
You know. Yeah.
So. And I get it too that, yeah, I'm also, you know, there's something very, somebody wrote me in one of my Facebooks today, a message. He really wasn't, I think it's Sylvain. I'm not even sure if that's a woman or a man. Do you know Sylvain?
I'm pretty sure I know who that is. Once you tell me what they say, I'll probably be sure.
Okay, here, wait. Well, I mean, essentially, she really loved the show last week, and what she kind of wrote, anyways, she wrote at the end, but listen, I'm weird, and that's why I like you. And I took that as such a compliment, you know, not just because she liked the show, but because exactly this is, let's all be accepting in our weirdness. I don't want to live, because this is another insight that I got. The hive mentality is where there's one species with different roles, and ultimately there's always a king or a queen at the top. In an ecosystem, there's massive diversity, all working towards one goal, the harmony of the whole. I want to live in an ecosystem. I don't want to live in a hive.
No.
You know, because I'm always looking for nature to show me the, you know, show me the symbolism.
You know, it's so, I just think that that's so great about the weird thing, because I think that people are trying so hard to be normal. And, I mean, that's boring. And that's what I tell my kids all the time, because they'll be like, you're weird. I'm like, yeah, but normal would be boring. Do you want me to be normal? They'd be like, no way. You know? So.
Yeah, normal is so yesterday's black.
Yeah,
I don't mean the culture. I mean the dress. Yeah, it's like normal. What the hell is normal? I just want authentic. I want authentic. You know, because
exactly.
And that's the people I choose to hang out with are the people, you know, like even just because what's authentic about both of us is we have open minds and open hearts and can listen to each other's philosophies in total acceptance. In total acceptance. That. Because I'm starting to understand the shows that I do, I'm more interested in talking about the presence behind our choices, because it's telling the bigger picture. In other words, the acceptance of who we are with each other, that's the big picture. The tolerance, and it's clearly not, we're not tolerating each other, but that's an important picture in this new energy that we're coming into. Because, you know, the idea that, you know, gays still can't marry, you know, legally? Are you kidding? They can go to war, but they can't get married? That's just ludicrous.
It's ridiculous that people think they can choose who other people love. Love is love, period. Who cares? And who are you to say it's wrong? I mean, that's what I think, you know, and whenever I start to judge somebody because, you know, I'm just going to say we all do it. And I will literally stop myself and be like, who am I to judge them? You know, what is this saying about me? And these are just, you know, tools that I've learned over the years through my growing and evolving. And I'll be like, why would I pick that out of that person, you know? And so it helps me, and it also stops my judging because I that's not the person I want to be. I don't want to be that person. Right. I want to be the accepting person. I want to be the loving person. And, you know, it is so... You brought up the gay thing, and I babysit this little girl, and her mom came here today, this morning, to drop her off, and sweetest lady ever in the world. I mean, super kind. I love her to death. I love her daughter like she's mine, and she's standing by my door, and she goes, yeah, the cook they hired is, she whispers and spells this out, G-A-Y. And I looked at her, and I was like, you can say gay in my house. Like, I was so shocked by that. But it's the culture around the area where I live, you know. I mean, oh, my goodness, that's just taboo, and we can't talk about that. And I just thought, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, my kids all know what gay is, and there's no problem with it. But,
and there's not a problem with it, exactly.
Yeah, I was so floored by that. I guess, obviously, it's still on my mind because I was just like, I don't know. It just threw me off completely that people are still, you know, tiptoeing around it. Who cares?
Robin, they're still tiptoeing around the idea that blacks live in the area. I heard that from a friend of mine who overheard a conversation that, you know, there was blacks living in this area. I went, in 2011? And she was like, yeah. I went, wow. I mean, that's when it starts hitting me that, you know, okay, clearly, you know, people are on different timelines here. Come on. Obviously.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm dealing with people who are basically being, you know, having multidimensional experiences on a daily basis and shamanic experiences, and yet there's still in the world people that are, you know, upset that somebody with black skin lives in the neighborhood.
It's clearly we're
not in the same world, are we? I wouldn't even know what to say to that person. Sorry, go ahead.
I agree. No, it just seems so ignorant to me and naive for people to think that they can determine a person's entire worth based on, you know, their skin color or their sexual preference or their hair color or, you know, and it's sad, but it seems like, you know, these
people were raised that way. I mean, it's been generation after generation after generation who program this. I mean, it's such like I mean, everything's a program belief, right? I mean, everything
exactly
you believe
everything.
Until
yeah
until you get to a point where you look at those truths, which I also talk about this in my new book. You look at those truths and you go, this is mine, this isn't mine, and this isn't working for me, and I don't believe this anymore, and it's time for it to go. You know, so you have to live with that. You have to be able to look at the difference between a programmed truth and a, a real truth, basically.
A heartfelt truth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to change. It's going to change a million times, and always be
right
open
on
to that. You know, I think that that's important to be open to other truths because, you know, I can remember when Emily was three, we went to California and we stayed with my aunt, and I was like, I believe this way, this way, this way, and she looked at me and she goes, wow, she's like, I've never met someone so strong in their convictions. And I didn't understand it then, but now I sure as hell do, because I was so programmed into this is my beliefs, you know, this is the way things are going to go, and this is the only way there is, there's no leeway here, that I was like, when I started to really start shaping myself, I guess, it was
right.
amazing
Great answer.
To me.
Yeah,
yeah it was, it's just amazing, and I'm still doing it. I'm still learning things and going, oh, well, I used to think that, but no, that's not the way I believe anymore. And I really noticed it in the raising of my kids. Because Emily, I was a lot different person. You know what I mean? To now with Rory,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah, clearly.
It's so different.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's
yes.
so cool because you can all do it. Everybody can do it. It's your power, you know?
Yeah.
Take it, run with
yeah.
it, live with it, you know? So.
Well, and what's so funny is the conditioning that, you know, most of us were raised with that are, there's two things. And again, these are the like the generals behind the scene. One is change is difficult. That's just a belief. That is not
totally.
That does not have to be the way we experience change. Change can be wonderful. Change can be exhilarating. Change can be enlightening. Even the change, because like I've had friends of mine say to me, because well, see, all right, I'm getting schizo again. Okay, in my humble opinion, it's wonderful to commit to a belief because what I have experienced in the commitment of a belief is I experience that belief fully. Like, if I have one foot in and one foot out kind of thing, like, I'm only halfway living a belief, I only kind of get a half reality to it. You know, so it never, I don't want to say what it doesn't do. When I commit to a belief, it's like I get the whole experience to know whether I want to continue with this or choose another belief.
Right.
So what I tell people is don't be afraid to commit as well as don't be afraid to completely throw the commitment out and then recommit to another thing that is paradoxically exactly on the opposite of that belief. Because
yep.
people are like, well, then you're a hypocrite. And it's like, well, first of all, there's so much hypocrisy going on right now. How funny for anybody to call anybody a hypocrite. We're all freaking hypocrites right now because our reality is changing. It's almost like it's, of course we're hypocrites. We don't know what the hell we're doing right now. And the way to find what we're doing is through the experience of it.
Right.
So
yep.
so let's loosen the rules on if you commit to this, you know, remember, one of the biggest commitments is, you know, that comes up for me, you know, until death does you part. You know, it's like,
oh, right.
You're going to be with this person because, God bless it, you committed to it. And, you know, the Catholic religion is really big on, you know, stay in the marriage even if it sucks. You know, like, are you kidding me? Come on, please.
But
that's only, you know, that's only, there's also commitments you have to go to college right after high school. Well, who says who? So says that, or just anything. You have to pick a career that's going to last you the rest of your life. I mean, I personally did not know my ass from my elbow when I was 18.
I agree.
I didn't even know. I loved children until I was 25. I mean, it just seems that there's some of these practices we have to kind of update in order to fit the times we live in. Because I think it's important, like I said, commitment to a experience is very important, because, in my opinion, because I want to know that experience inside and out. I don't want to know just down to the level of, like, 2. I want to know it down to the level of 10. And you know, and I have dived into so many swimming pools that didn't have water in them because of this commitment. You know, literally as I'm jumping into the pool going, is there water in here? It's like, too late now, Goldie. And I have clunked my head. But I have also dived into, you know, amazing oceanic experiences and met dolphins, you know, and had multidimensional experiences. And when I know something doesn't work, I'm confident that I know that. And there is something brilliantly powerful in knowing what you don't want as much as knowing what you do.
Right.
And I don't think our culture gives that. We don't give credit to the failures as being extraordinary information for us to own. We don't. And we should.
No, we're just too busy judging, you know, just like you said about marriage. I mean, but, you know, I see it happening, you know, people are like, oh, you know, divorce is so horrific. But if you're not happy, I mean, I'm a big believer, and if it doesn't make you happy, don't do it. I mean, I do. I believe that with all my heart. I think you're built to be happy. Why in the world
would
you keep doing something that makes you unhappy? I mean,
right.
Look at it and go, you know, I'm not happy. Okay, well, then it's time for it to change.
I agree.
And that's simple as that. To me, that's...
I agree. No, I agree. You should never... And usually what's... Like, I'll make choices that make me happy, but everybody around me is like, are you out of your mind? And it's like, well, okay, maybe I am, but it makes me happy. Because I think that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks for most people is what makes them happy, the rest of the culture defines as wrong.
Right.
You know? And, you know, that's another, you know, wonderful essence to have behind you. Live your life for yourself. I mean, if you're living for other people around you, I promise you, you'll never find yourself. How could you possibly find yourself when the defining factor of you is someone else?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's the equation. If that's the equation, you're never going to come up with the answer, I am. Because I am isn't in that equation. It's he is, or she said, or he said. You know, that's... I don't know. It's just not authentic.
It's not. And so much time is wasted on worrying about what other people think and if other people, you know, making other people happy. And, you know, but we're taught that from a young age. We are taught to be accepted from such a young age. I mean, when you're a kid, you want the acceptance of your parents. You know, you start school and it gets really bad. I mean, you try and, you know, line you up in a single file line and tell you if you step out of it, you need medicated or there's something wrong with you, you know, and it's so sad. And people say, you know, well, why do you homeschool? Well, why do I homeschool? Because I want my kids to keep their spirit strong. That's why I homeschool, because public school.
Well, and I'll be honest with
it.
You, I think that's brilliant. I think,
yeah.
Do you know that there was a stat I saw, like 85% of kids homeschooled graduate college.
Well, yeah, they can do whatever they want, you know, and people, there's so much stuff surrounding it, you know, that people don't understand it, and they think that you keep your kid in a bubble, and then they're not socially aware, and it's like, you have no idea. No, you know, you're so busy judging what I'm doing when you should be paying attention to what's going on. I mean, look at public schools. Just in my area, kids are being bullied. I mean, that is all you see. It's
that's a big issue by the teachers.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the bullying stuff. So, yeah, I want to stick my kid in that. No, thank you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. If I ever have children, there's no way they would go to public schools. There's no way anybody. I'll teach you what you need to know, and you'll know how to read and write. And, you know, if you want to go on to, you know, engineering or whatever, that's cool. Then,
yep.
You know, we'll hire a tutor to teach you the rest of the math.
yep, exactly.
But
you know,
but you're right about the spirit. You're so right about the spirit. That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah, and I won't waste. You know, I don't want to live without living spirit. Why would I expect my kids to? You know, and
yeah,
parents need to realize that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. My father said to me the other day, he goes, "You're 46 years old and you have nothing to show for it." And I went, "You know what, Dad?" Yeah, I know. And I still live with him. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting because the dynamic is he still sees me as a child. He doesn't allow me to grow up. I mean, that he's stuck in me being a teenager. Just that's where he's stuck to see me.
Okay.
And, you know, I said to him, I go, The things that I value bring me peace and calmness and confidence like it's nobody's business. I go, and the truth is, you're right, I don't have a lot of money. But hey, look at where my choices got me. I got a dad who does have enough money to support me. So, you know, he goes, because his whole thing was just, in Judaism, independence is very, they're not sexist, God bless that part of, you know, the religion. But they are whatever, financialists. In other words, he because I don't make money, he doesn't consider me successful. I mean, he's like,
okay.
And yet my brother, who's making, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, whatever he's making, who is, you know, divorced emotionally, like me and Janine were talking, I totally got a hit that most American white males, you know, the reason why, and corporate usually, why most corporate American white males, you know why they want women that look like 14-year-olds, you know, basically very skinny and undeveloped? Because that's a reflection of their emotional status. They're prepubescent emotionally. So
right.
they want the women that are literally, that look and feel like the 14-year-olds, because they don't even know how to handle anger and, you know, the genuine juice of life that comes from deeply feeling your emotions, all your emotions, the emotions that feel good as well as the emotions that are challenging, because there is wisdom garnished from both of those, you know, the dark emotions as well as the joyful emotions. And, you know, it's like, and it's funny how the ethnicities that have been kind of, you know, bashed with, you know, the Spanish and the Mexicans and the blacks, how funny, all their women, they love their women thick, you know, and strong. They're, God knows, the sisters of black people, they are some strong bitches, man. They have essentially taken on the responsibility of raising their families, culturally speaking, because a lot of the men were being put in jail and they weren't around. But you can see it in the body types that they enjoy, and it's like, that's just not a coincidence. That, you know, they want strength, because strength is a beautiful thing. Well, I encourage everybody at this point in life, find your inner strength. Find your inner strength, and let's all stop being afraid to be literally going supernova. Let's go supernova. Because, you know, they can put up their little signs or whatever. They can tell us that, you know, we're not worthy. But truly, when the radiation and the luminosity of a supernova hits, do you think that matters? that they're holding up, you know, the signs going, you're no good, you know, you'll never succeed into anything. Oh, really? Okay, well, we'll see about that.
Right. Never underestimate. Never underestimate the power of yourself.
Right on. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, and I do believe, see, and this is what I like, strong women. You know, just, I don't care what you're strong in. Like you were saying, it doesn't matter where your passion is, how you make your living. I mean, at this point, I'm cleaning houses again to pay my car payments. I'm cleaning the house for my dad because he's like, you know, you need $300 for your car payment. And I'm like, you know, and I went, well, we don't have a cleaning girl. Why don't I clean the house? And he goes, okay. And I was like, okay. You know, I mean, flexibility, and it's so funny. I mean, it takes me 2 days to clean the house because I am an old lady, Robin.
Oh, you are not.
Oh, my God. Well, whatever the shift
Maybe
is that I'm going through.
Maybe a procrastinating lady, but not an old lady.
You think I'm procrastinating? Share more on that. I want to hear more on that.
Well, no, I was just saying because you said it takes you 2 days, so maybe you're just kind of, you know, procrastinating.
Oh, no. It's my back. I don't, you know, I'll be honest with you. Cleaning houses is some rough work, the whole bending down and picking up. And, you know, part of it, I think, is also it's my house, so we don't exactly clean the house before the cleaning lady comes, where I know a lot of the houses I worked as a nanny, you know, the house is essentially spotless. You just got to clean over it, you know.
I would sure like a cleaning lady.
You what?
I said I would sure like a cleaning lady. I'm the cleaning lady.
Oh, well, but you're putting love into everything you're touching. Well, you've got five girls, though. I would imagine at some point the girls help.
Oh,
I mean,
it's a team. It's a team. It's not
exactly.
me. I'm just joking
right.
around. It's complete, and I love everything that I do. So it's, I was just joking.
No, right on. I hear you. Exactly. Well, and I just, because I'm open to doing, I have no issues with the caste system. Like, I could never clean to, you make a, because if life presents to me, if someone came up to me and go, listen, we need a cleaning lady. Okay, listen, maybe it's time to go back to cleaning. Let's. You know, in other words, it's what's showing up. You know, I'll pay my bills however I'm going to pay my bills, you know, and I'll let go of, you know, as my father said it today, he goes, you're just grown accustomed to being poor. And I went, well, I on some levels, I have grown accustomed to living on very little money. But, in all honesty, I don't feel poor, you know, because I mean, in my humble opinion, whatever these changes are that are going on, I think there's going to come a day where the work I've done in my emotions and in my energetic system of what I can tolerate and can't tolerate is going to show up to have a tremendous value as we go into the year 2012. I really do believe that. I believe this confidence that is in me and expressing through me, you know, I don't think it's going to matter how much money we make if, you know, a tidal wave hits the eastern seaboard, you know, and you know what I mean, or anything that, you know, pardon?
I think it has to do with, are you happy with your state? You know, are you completely content with your level of income and with where you're at in your life? Because that's really what it comes down to. I mean, the poorest people, the poorest of poor are happy. I mean, look at third world countries. Those people are dancing around and you know, in certain villages and stuff. I'm just using that as an example. So if you personally, and it doesn't mean if your dad thinks it's okay or if, you know, anyone in the world does, it has to be about you. If you are not happy with your level of income, then you have to take steps to change it. But if you're comfortable and you're accustomed to being at a certain level, and it's not just being accustomed, but it feels right and it feels good, then it really doesn't matter. You know, to me, that's the way I feel about it. Because I think
that's great advice.
Yeah, because I mean, when I was younger, I mean, making $300 a week was a lot. You know, now looking at it, now I'm going, no, that we could never live on that now. I can't believe we lived on that then. You know, that's what I think of now. But because I've grown to, and I'm not a money-hungry person. I'm not a name-brand person.
I know you're not.
That means nothing to me, and I'm raising my children the same way because I think it's important that they know what's real and what's important.
Yes.
And, but there are certain things that I like, and I like not struggling. You know, that's a big thing to me. I don't want to struggle.
Now, that's what my father said, and I honor that. I honor it because my father, he goes, listen, I just didn't want to struggle. You know, but see, his passion was engineering. I go, listen, if my passion was engineering, there'd be nothing you could do to stop me from doing it.
Right.
It's just I the things that I'm passionate about, and I guess, I mean, ultimately I could be a therapist on some lines, but I can feel it. That's not my passion, even though it's my passion to help people. But I'm really at a place where I don't know, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I don't know my passion. I just know my passion is working through my emotional system. I mean, that actually is my passion.
You know,
it seems like it doesn't matter my money. I can do that anyways. It's like, okay, then keep doing that, Goldie.
You know, sometimes we are completely, you know, and I can completely relate to you because when I finished this last book, this Reshaping Reality that's going to come out in February, when I finished that book, I looked around and I go, well, what am I going to do next? And I even actually said that to Keith and my girls. I'm like, what am I going to do now? And they're like, write another book. I'm like, oh, I don't feel it yet. You know, I have to have it to write it.
Yes.
I have to know it and feel it in my soul.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't have it. And I tell you, seriously, I went around for weeks. I can completely relate to it and going, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, I just kind of busied myself with little things that I didn't really, you know, that I wasn't really into, but just to kind of keep my mind busy. And then, you know, it's just like the flip of a switch. I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, you know, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to quit playing on Farmtown and I'm going to start doing something and this is what it's going to be, you know, and I started working on all these different projects and some ebooks, things that I want to do, but I kind of was kind of just floating, you know, just kind of like, where do I go next? you know, and I think it's okay. I think it's okay to be there. But that, I think right then at that moment, you're kind of open. You're open to whatever's coming your way. And it will show up. It will show up when it's supposed to, because, you know, you can't force anything. But it's just important to be open to that. But if you know what works for you, you know, I'm just giving you an example of, because I really can relate to you, because I did go through that. And we all do.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm starting to see there are, how do I put this? There are certain crossroads, it seems, that we all experience on this journey. I mean, like the crossroad of the dark night of the soul. We all go through it, you know, as well as I think there's a point where the best way I can describe it, because it's really an intuitiveness. It's not like I don't know it, and it doesn't seem to be apparent, you know, that anybody else has, you know, like written the books about this yet. But it seems like whatever this change is that's happening right now, I feel at times where I am completely unplugged for a time and space, and that's when I think I do a lot of the sleeping. And I would imagine, and that's really a key word here, is imagine. It's like DNA is getting flipped on, and it's flipped on, but I don't even know how to apply this new humanness that I am. You know, because there's a sense of me that always, always tells me when I'm in my center, everything's fine. You know, because it is easy to fall into, you know, holy shit, I don't have that much money. You know, what the hell am I doing? I'm not creating, you know, I'm not doing a lot. And I want to be, but I can't do just for the sake of doing. You know what I mean? It's like my doing for the sake of doing is basically going to the woods. I mean, that's all I do for the sake of nothing. You know, just to but it's not a sake of nothing, of course. I'm connecting with the woods. But I'm like, you know, I'd love to be out there talking, you know, doing a talking tour or, you know, manifesting workshops with me and Janine and you. You know what I mean? Like, all of this, I want to be doing this, but it's got to come, it's got to show up for me. You know, it's got to show up as something that ends up being manifested, not something that in my mind, because I'm learning, am I creating from a fear? Or here's the words I use. Are you creating from desperation? Or are you creating from inspiration?
Yeah, and all of those things are something that, you know, a piece of you wants to do. So even if you try these things, if you start like a hiking group, or you start, you know, like a healing circle up in the woods, if you start, you know, if you start doing a workshop here and there and just start it, and then you'll be able to experience it and know if it's real or not. Because,
well, right,
you know, like,
on. Right on.
All these
that's
ideas
true.
Sitting up in your head, they're just sitting there. You know,
well,
what I
but
mean?
But that's
so
the thing. I don't
put...
have ideas in my head. I actually.
You just told me two
I mean...
of them.
Oh,
those
well,
are two
that's
ideas.
True.
Yeah,
no,
because
that's
these are
true.
Things...
You're right.
Yeah.
No, right on. See, no, right on, Robin.
So you know, you
fly,
have to
Robin,
take
fly.
An active. active approach to your life.
No, because that's what I was just saying, right? If I don't experience it, how am I going to know? Well,
exactly.
Well, by golly, I feel the challenge now, my friend. I am going to have to do something. Well, because you're right. You know,
yeah.
And
yeah,
I needed someone
work,
like
you
to show that to me, because I don't know. I just know if, but see, I can feel it. You're right, that I have something and I'm
waiting.
Not moving on it. I'm not
yeah,
moving on it.
You're waiting for this big giant airplane to fly over you and with a tail behind it that says, Goldie, it is time.
Yes.
But the time is now. The time is
yes.
right now. All the time is right now. And if you try these things and they don't work out and you don't feel them after you try them, then you know. Then you know it's time to try these other ideas. And if they're coming into your mind, they're ideas, and you have to be an active participant, because otherwise you can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, but if you don't do it, then it's never going to come to be.
That's right on.
Least,
that is.
That, I mean, that is
brilliant info. You're right. You're right. No, you're right. You're spot on. Because I'm realizing what I'm saying is I have a belief in me that says it's too chaotic now to create. I can feel it because I said it to you.
Right,
it's
but it's
like,
not. Yep.
No, it's not. And you're right, it's not.
And if nothing, if anything, you can bring some calmness and serenity to this chaos, you know, by doing these tours,
right,
or doing these workshops. I mean, it's your opportunity to step in. And even though, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to fix everything, but you can bring such a positive thing to the chaos that you're seeing.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that, right?
No, not only, cause I really do feel ready for this. I mean, I'm ready to talk about my world. And I, for the first time in my life, I feel like a little bit anyways, the world is ready to hear me. I mean, I'm not saying the billions that are out there, but
no, but you know,
I do
those
believe
that need it will hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah, right on.
Whether it's one or 100 or 100,000, the people who need it will be attracted and will get what they need. I mean, I've did workshops where two people have showed up, but I know with those two people, I impacted something and I helped plant a seed, and that's all that you need.
Yeah, right on, Robin. Because I think it's time for me to, you know, make something out, you know, because, I mean, I could even just call a local store that I'm, you know, I'm very tight with and say, you know, sign up classes. Because it's funny. You know, I was on this day with Janine. I wrote a flyer out where I wanted to start doing a mentoring program, because I really love the word and the whole essence of mentoring. Because I don't want to be a therapist per se, because from my own perspective, it's like I kind of go about things very, you know, it's not about healing the past, it's about integrating it. I mean, that's my take on life. You know, so the word mentoring to me feels like, you know, it's just about understanding everything that we've done is serving a purpose for self. And I know I can talk about this. And it was interesting because I had at one point where I was going to move to North Carolina, and it does appear that because I'm back together with this gentleman, Scott, that I'm not going to move to North Carolina. I'm going to stick around. And it's like, you're helping me to see that, you know, there's so many things moving in and out of my life right now that I went off track, because I remember the day I wrote it, this flyer, that night was when the opportunity for me to move to North Carolina came about. And so it kind of like blindsided, and I went, well, I'm not going to start promoting this work here. I'll just wait till I get to North Carolina. But, you know, that's procrastinating. Hey, call it as you see it, Robin. I love a person who gives it to me straight. I love you, babe. We're going to have you on the show more often, because bring it, girl.
Well, you know, I think that everyone, you know, you have such great things to offer, and everybody does, and we have all these excuses that we've built up in our brains and in our beliefs, and we use them against ourselves. You know, it's easy to find a reason not to do it. But it's time to do it. You know, like I always tell Keith, you know, I can talk until I'm blue in the face, but if I'm not doing it, then how's it going to happen? I'm not going to wait around for someone else to do it. If it's something I want to do, I need to get off my butt and do it. And that's just my, you know, that's me.
Yeah, and I tend to be, you know, the work that we have to do within, where most people don't want to do that. They're more efficient at doing the doing. I'm extremely efficient at the inner work, but I'm out of balance. I need to kind of do more. I really do,
right?
Because I'm, you know, I'm sensing it's time. And at the very least, I do feel passionate about this mentoring, at least getting it started, because I love talking to people, especially now, you know. But it's funny, because, like, initially I say things like, well, but, you know, I only want to talk to people who are ready to be talked to. And it's like, oh, shut up, Goldie. Do you really think that you're going to – is anybody going to gravitate toward you that's not, you know? And it's like, I mean, I'm already seeing people coming into my world. It's just, we're not sitting in, you know, an office or whatever. We're sitting by the trees talking.
Which is better, really.
Which is maybe that's the sign, huh? Maybe I should actually advertise, listen, I'll take you to the woods. And there's a whole holistic experience going on, talking about, you know, life while sitting with your back against a tree.
Yeah, and start a healing circle or just grow on it, you know. And people, you think that, you know, I've experienced this many of times where I think that I'm going to have a hard time. Like, I've had people sit in the workshop and roll their eyes at the beginning of the workshop. And by the end, they're hugging me and crying and saying, you know, and that's absolutely happened. So, you know, the impact you can make on the whole just by, you know, just like offering it. And even if people don't respond right away, don't be discouraged, because a new thing is sometimes threatening to people. And so you have to be able to, you know, you have to be hard, you have to be tough-skinned or whatever they say for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and you have to have perseverance. You got right. Nothing nothing comes to anybody overnight. Right,
no.
Right.
No,
I totally honor
quit.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you got to believe in yourself, you know. You got to believe
and
in yourself.
I like
yourself.
It, too.
What
you just said, too, a healing circle in the woods. I like that.
That'd be perfect. See? And,
right on, Robin.
There you go.
You know, girl. You know what your bad self. See, it's the bird people. I love the bird people. Robins and hawks. You think they don't get along? Oh, bah humbug on that. No, on. Yeah, and just so everybody knows, if you resonate with birds, I promise you, you're a bird person. You don't have to have a bird in your name to be a bird person. Bird wisdom is really, we're the messengers. If you feel like you have a message for people, you're more than likely a bird person. But right on, babe. Right on. This is, I love it. I love that you just called me out on my procrastination. I really do. I do. I can't even. I love strength. I love strength, and I love truth. And I love living this on the air because, you know, when people call things like constructive criticism, if your friends can't tell you that there's a piece of snot hanging out your nose, who can? You know, and I say that, you know, symbolically. In other words, when you're the people who care about you, if they're saying things like, you know, that hurt your feelings, before, you know, you just get defensive and go, you know, no, that's crazy, look at the people who are saying it. If it's people that love you, be open to saying, okay, I'm going to take a look at that. Because I don't think people say these things to us to hurt us. I think they're saying it to us to wake us up. And, you know, I mean, and I know from doing the inner work, it's very difficult to see our own stuff inside. We usually either see it in other people, and I'm telling you, procrastination is so funny. I definitely, I get very upset at people that don't move. Come on, you got to move faster. Oh, I wonder where that comes from. and just being open to, I mean, because, boy, and if you have someone like, well, Robin, give your contact information, because clearly, you know, I'm always, I love supporting people and letting other people know that, you know, they can get a hold of you, too. It's not just about me being on the air with you. You can help them find themselves and what, you know, be open to talking to Robin. I mean, she's clearly... You're clearly gifted, and I appreciate
thank you.
You're welcome.
You too. And my website.
I know
is
you do.
RobinMarvel.com. It's RobinMarvel, okay. And then MARVEL, .com. And then I'm on Facebook under Robin Marvel. And
nice.
That's how easy it is.
And that's how there you go. Contact her on Facebook, because a lot of my listeners listen on Facebook. And Sylvain, by the way, is a guy. He wrote me a lovely message. Him and Simon have been messaging me. They're enjoying our conversation very much.
Okay.
And much wisdom to be shared. And your book is coming out in February. Definitely got to have you back on even before February, Robin. I think we're gonna.
That's good.
Yeah, I want to keep in touch with you because you know you're a tough little bird. but your wisdom is in what I've always said. It's the intention of who you are. You're authentically one of the greatest cheerleaders I've ever met. And in that authenticity, you're welcome. I honor you and support you. So we'll have you back on.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it. And
right,
you have a happy holidays.
Thank you. You too, and to your beautiful girls and your lovely man. Happy holidays. Oh, and if you're interested, I just want to put this out for everybody. New Year's Eve, we are doing a special show from 8 to 10, and we're going to do a ceremonial intention to marry our higher selves. And if you even wanted to just stop by and, you know, share some wisdom or partake in the ceremony, you are absolutely welcome, and it would be delightful to have you be a part of that. So I don't know what you do for New Year's Eve. So yeah.
Oh yeah, we don't do anything too wild.
Yeah, well, five kids. That could,
yeah,
your wild days are done.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, but if you want to join us, I mean, we're going to be writing vows to ourselves and speaking them over the air, because I think it's incredibly powerful speaking on the air. So I would love for your participation. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. That would be cool.
Okay. Right on. Okay, so next Monday night, the Mystical Mother Earth Show, and then next Thursday, Anthony Farmer is going to take us in up to New Year's Eve with some amazing information from the elders. So thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Yeah, right on, sister. Right on. You blew me away tonight, and I love it. I really do. And I wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and Hanukkah and anything goodness. And know that even if it's not good, find yourself in it, and it will all be worth it. And that is my message for all you guys tonight. You guys take care. I love you. I will talk to you very soon, Robin. And
okay.
Have a great night. Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Take care now. Bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.